Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Let me stay on your feet for a second. I want to read an opening scripture to you. It says, my flesh and my heart may fail. Anybody getting older? Yeah, don't need to be reminded of that. My flesh, my heart may fail, but God, how many are glad every time in the Bible it says, but God, right? That two words change everything, right? Just two words. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. See, my confidence is not in what I can do. It's in what He can do. And He can do more than you could even think possible today. How many believe that, right? He's able. So, as we get ready to hear from the Lord today through His Word, I want you to open your hearts, open your ears. Let's pray for understanding. Let's pray for more than just information. Let's pray for transformation in this place. And if you've got a need, maybe just stretch a hand toward the Lord today, and we're going to believe God to do what we cannot do. Father, we thank You that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's healing, there's power. Lord, You're in this place to do great things in our midst. God, we just ask that our ears would be attentive, that we would hear from You, that our hearts would be receptive. So what You want to say to us, it will find good soil. Lord, we ask that You'll help us today to not just take in information, but may we have transformation as a result of being in this place and hearing Your Word. We know Your Word is powerful, and we declare Your Word, what You say, over what man may say in this place today, to the glory of God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God more and more shout of praise. Then give somebody a high five next to you. Say, I'm getting my confidence today. Hey, as we get ready for this message, I just want to say a quick thing of thanks to those of you who have purchased my book, and not just you, but I especially want to thank those of you who are using it to share with other people, and just want to remind you, pray over it before you hand it off to somebody, because I've been praying that this instrument would be used to touch other people, and that God would use it to bring people to Him. And so thank you so much for supporting that and making that happen. And I believe that God's going to do some incredible things through it yet ahead. Today we're starting a new series, kind of a how-to series. Anybody ever watch these YouTube videos, right? When you're wanting to put something back together that you took apart, And you're wondering how to do that. I was talking to somebody just yesterday. We were at a gathering, and somebody said their husband is remodeling their house. And I said, oh, is your husband handy? And she had this look. And she says, well, he's been watching these videos, and, you know, he's doing good on putting this. I'm telling you, Rochelle would never let me remodel our house by watching some videos, all right? That is not going to happen. But recently, I did descale a coffee maker. Anybody ever done that? And And so I had to figure out exactly how to do it and everything. So I would watch this video and then stop it and do that part. And then I watch a little bit more, stop it and do that part. And so the video really helped me to know what to do. For anyone 15 and under, I just want you to know that used to, when they sold you something, there was something inside called directions, okay? And so now, you know, they don't even waste the paper on that. And all you just scan the QR code and go to the YouTube video and watch what you need to do. But anyway, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's a new thing. And so I did that and was able to do it. But what happens is I think a lot of us feel like, I need to figure this out. I need to, you know, I don't think I'm enough. And wouldn't it be great if there was like a YouTube video that would help us with that? And because a lot of us deal with what psychologists would call imposter syndrome. You know, if people really knew who I was, they wouldn't respect me. If people really knew who I was, they wouldn't call me a good parent. You know, if people really knew who I was, they wouldn't think I'm a great leader. If people really knew all about me, then they wouldn't think that I'm a great Christian, perhaps. And I think that the enemy steps into that territory, doesn't he? And just kind of just accelerates that. And then too, you know, you do see people that you think, gosh, did no one talk to them before they did that? Yeah, you know, I'm talking about karaoke, okay? You know, have you ever, you know, been to a place? I know one place, we were on vacation, they did karaoke at the pool. And people who had no business holding a microphone and singing were singing these songs. And it was only because of the music playing in the background that I even knew what kind of song that was supposed to be. And yet, here's what was also funny, is people who were like the least talented were some of the most bold in singing and everything. Have you ever seen that before? And then have you ever felt like, am I one of those people? You know, nobody's telling me, hey, you really don't need to be doing that. You really aren't that good or whatever. And I think the enemy works in all of that. And God doesn't want us to feel that way, okay? He wants us to have confidence. But true confidence, listen to this, doesn't come from what you have or who you impress. It comes from knowing whose you are and what he has said. And so it doesn't come, you know, from our friends. It comes this way. And so this is contrary to our culture in which we have a confidence culture. We have a culture that wants to help us with our confidence. And so I just noticed this week when I was researching and getting ready for this message, there are a ton of TikTok videos that are confidence hack, okay? And so what you got these people, that I didn't even know who these people are. There's some girl sitting on the edge of her bed, and she's going to tell you how to have more confidence. And then there's this other person. And there was all these people, and just one after another. What I noticed is that they were saying different things. And you would think if there's a key to confidence, that everybody would have the key. Everybody would have the same key. And what the world has to offer, and here's where I'm going with this, is I think a common confidence. just a common confidence, where it's built on looks, it's built on things you possess, it's built on money, it's built on popularity, it's built on achievements. And here's the problem with that. If people gave it to you, then people can take it from you. See, if your confidence comes from others and what they say about you, what they post about you, you know, I guess I need to pull that post down because I thought it'd get a whole lot more likes than that. And if our confidence is based on what others say, then we can lose it that way. Here's what Proverbs 3:26 says, "For the Lord will be your confidence." See, where should our confidence come from? It should come from the Lord. And he will keep your foot from being caught. He'll keep you from falling into the traps of the enemy. When you need confidence, here's the kind of confidence you need. And I was thinking about this because I was thinking about a book that Tony Dungy wrote. And, you know, back when he was following the Lord to be the coach of the Colts. No, I didn't say that. Anyway, I'm over it. He left and he went on. He's on TV and everything. But there's something here that I still wish he was our coach. But anyway, he wrote a great book called Uncommon. Uncommon. And what he was saying is I don't want the common marriage. I don't want the common parenting. I don't want the common way of life. I don't want what's common. I want what's uncommon. I want what's above and beyond what would be common. And so today, where I'm going with this is I want you to have confidence that's uncommon, that didn't come from TikTok. It didn't come from what other people say about you, because I believe our confidence should not be rooted in ourselves. Our confidence should be rooted in our Savior. And so Jesus, our Savior, actually dealt with this topic. The Bible actually says that he dealt with everything that we would deal with, all the kinds of stuff, the types of things that we dealt with, so that we could have someone who could understand us. Aren't you glad that God, the God you serve, understands you, that he gets you, that he's been through some stuff? And Jesus, let me just set this up where we're going in Matthew 26. Here's where he's going. He's just moments away from being betrayed by one of his followers. He's moments away from a kangaroo trial that was thrown together to try to get him to be killed. He's just moments away from enduring some of the most horrendous pain that anybody could ever go through. And he knew this was coming. And so in light of knowing that, what does he do? In Matthew 26 and verse 37, here's what it says. He, Jesus, took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Now, again, that's powerful that Jesus could feel what you feel. Sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow." Have you ever felt that way? Overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. "So stay here and keep watch with me." So Jesus is dealing with all this pressure. As a matter of fact, what's interesting about this is where he's at is Gethsemane. And the word Gethsemane means oil press. And maybe they pressed olives there and made olive oil. And so Jesus is in a spot where it's known for pressure. It's known for stress. It's known for all this outside force on it. And so Jesus, in that atmosphere, in knowing what's ahead, what's coming, he says, I get it. I feel the pressure and everything. But here's what he does. And I want you to get this today. Jesus transitions from overwhelming sorrow to unwavering resolve. That's what he does. He transitions from this overwhelming sorrow that he says he's feeling to an amazing, unwavering resolve. And here's what we know. And if you get to be in any kind of leadership, you know this, that opportunity also has opposition. That you're going to have opposition in each opportunity. As a matter of fact, when you're leading, sooner or later, you'll be ridiculed or face resistance for your plans. I mean, the leader, the one that rises above, they're the one that gets the tomatoes, right? You ever heard that? And so what can happen is even people make stuff up about you. They'll tell untruths. They'll just make up rumors about you. And this is what was happening to Jesus. They were trying to trap him. They would make up some. Matter of fact, they had trouble at the trial of Jesus because there were so many liars. Think about that. One liar, then another liar, then another, and they're like, okay, this is not getting us anywhere. And so Jesus had all of this stuff and was dealing with it. So how do you move from overwhelming sorrow to unwavering resolve with confidence? How do you have more confidence? Well, I want to give you, I'm not going to play a YouTube video. I'm going to give it to you straight today, all right? So write it down. Here's a few things that you can do from God's Word that will help us to have an uncommon confidence. Not what the world would give us that the world can take away, but what God gives us. And here's the first thing is that uncommon confidence comes from your position in Christ. Your position in Christ. Because common confidence is kind of like this, and I saw some people talk this way, that, hey, just get in the mirror and tell yourself, I am enough. You are smart. You are going to crush it today. You are going to go to work, and you're going to have an awesome day and all of that. But how many, let's just be honest here today, something happens between the mirror and the meeting. Am I right? Something happens between the meeting and the mirror to where I forgot even what I said to myself this morning. I don't even know. I feel like, no, I'm a loser here. I'm not going to get anywhere. Hello? Right? And so let's be real. There's some days when you just don't feel that you're enough. But what God wants to convince us of today is even when I'm not enough, he is more than enough. Because Jesus had at least two encounters with the Father when he was, one was when he was first starting his ministry and he got baptized. Some of you, you remember this from Sunday school, if you went to Sunday school or if you're in kids' ministry and you remember about Jesus' baptism and when he came up out of the water, there was a voice that spoke to him, that spoke out and said, this is my son, in him I'm well pleased. And this is before he's healed anybody. He hasn't healed anyone. He hasn't multiplied fish. He hasn't multiplied bread. He hasn't caused anybody to come back from the dead. He's not really done any of those things. And God says, I am pleased with him. That's my son. And then on another occasion, he's on this Mount of Transfiguration, Bible scholars call it. And he's up there with a few of his followers. And Moses and Elijah appear to him in a kind of a miraculous visionary kind of way. And there's a cloud. And out of the cloud, they hear a voice. And it says, "This is my son. In him, I'm well pleased." So when Jesus is encountering all this opposition, he knew whose he was. Okay, he knew and understood that he had a position with the Father. And I want to convince you today, not of who you are in the natural, but whose you are in Christ. Check this out in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Here's how Paul put it. "And God raised us up." Now turn to your neighbor and say, "That means us." Okay? He raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. See, I'm in Christ. That changes everything. I'm in Christ. So therefore, everything's different. Have you ever gone to a VIP event? You ever gone to one of those? Yeah, or paid for like backstage passes or something like that, where you get to go where other people can't go. You know, have you ever done one of those things? I was at an event that I got to be around some people. Matter of fact, we've got a picture of me with one of my childhood type, my early years of ministry. This was like a hero person. This guy is a pastor of pastors, probably has had more people come to his church and learn about pastoring than any other pastor ever in American history. And his name's Tommy Barnett, and he pastors a church that seats 5,000 or 6,000 people, and they have about 20-some thousand that come. And he still preaches today, off and on. He's like retired, but because I think he's about 88 now. But are you kidding me? He was in the room. And he was going to speak and all these things. And I thought, I am getting a picture with Tommy Barnett, you know. Now, let me tell you something. The reason why I have a picture with him is not because of me. It is because of my friend that asked me, "Would you like to have a backstage pass for the event that I'm hosting? Would you like one, Craig, so that you can come back with us and all?" And I said, "Let me think about it. Yes." Okay? And so the whole reason is because I had this pass that allowed me to go back there and to be around him. Now here's the thing. Confidence is not who you are. It comes from who you're with. And I'm with Jesus, right? That's what Paul says. I'm with Christ. I've been raised up with him. I'm seated in heavenly places. He raised me up. So your confidence is not in your resume. It's in your relationship. See, it's not about your circumstances. It's about your connection with God. So you got to stop rehearsing your failures and start rehearsing your position in Christ. See, the people want to say stuff to you and talk smack to you, and what you got to say is, "Hey, I'm raised up. I'm raised up and I'm seated. I may not look like much, I may not look like I'm able, but I want you to know he makes me able." Come on, somebody, right? He raised me up. Here's the next thing, is this uncommon confidence comes from God's promises. You got to latch it to God's promises. Look at this in verse 32, Matthew 26. He says, "But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." So Jesus, here he is. He says, I'm just telling you, I know how this is going to turn out. Like doesn't feel good at the moment. We're in this squeeze position of just this testing time and trials, you know, but I'm just telling you, on the third day, I've been saying, I'll rise again. Didn't he do that? Do I have any believers in the church today? Are there any Christian people in this church today? I just want to know, because I'm just not sure. I need your help. All right? So here's what he does. He links his confidence in, I already know how this is going to turn out. Even though I may go through a cross, I may go through the trials and tribulation, I may go through pain and suffering and all, I already know it's going to turn out for a resurrection. That's what's going to happen. Why? Because that's what God has promised. See, confidence that I'm talking about, this kind of confidence doesn't just come from positive thinking. It comes from anchored promises. Anchored promises in God's word. In Romans, let me prove it to you. Romans chapter 4, it tells the story, just a quick story, of Abraham. Abraham is way back in the early parts of the Bible. And God said to Abraham, here's how this kind of unfolded. He says, hey, I've chosen you. I'm going to reveal my glory in the earth through you. And you see that sand on the seashore? Your kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, et cetera, are going to be like the sand on that seashore. And come out here at night, Abraham. Look up at the sky. Look up all those stars. He says, I'm telling you, your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, all that are going to come after you, they're going to be more than the stars that you can see. Now, here's what's impressive about that is Abraham has not had a child yet. And, by the way, he's like 90 years old. So let's pick it up where Paul talks about Abraham. Here's what he says. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. And notice where his confidence is at. In God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. The glory went to God, not to Abraham. He was fully convinced in himself. No, he wasn't fully convinced that a 90-year-old dude could pull this off. Okay? He wasn't convinced that that would happen. But what he was convinced is that God is able to do whatever he promises. Somebody needs to highlight that. Somebody needs to underline that. I am fully convinced that God is able. See, it wasn't about his body or his wife's body or whatever, because looking at the natural, it's like, I don't know about this. But in the supernatural, see, he had confidence in God's word. And it's kind of like, you know, a blank check. You know, if somebody gave you a signed blank check, the power is not in the paper, right? It's not, oh, that's awesome paper. You know, That's impressive, you know. No, it isn't about the paper. It's about who's behind it. See, and that's why you got to watch who you take a check from, right? Because who's behind it? And I'm telling you, what the deal is, what I'm telling you about, is God's promises. When God signs on to a promise, you can take it to the bank, all right? When God says, Abraham, Your kids are going to be like sand. They're going to be more than you can imagine. They're going to be more like the stars of the sky. You just can't even imagine what I'm going to do. Paul says he didn't look at his body. He didn't look at the natural. He looked to God's word and what God had to say about his situation. See, confidence comes from God's word. That's the reason why you got to find a promise that speaks to you. So let me read a little list to you. Maybe some of you need to write some of these down or take some pictures of these verses. When you're anxious or when you're worried, Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what God says. And when you feel weak or inadequate, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says, my grace, God says, is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. When you doubt your worth or your calling, Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. When you're facing opposition or fear, Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? When you need boldness to speak or act, 2 Timothy says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. When you struggle with guilt or condemnation, doesn't that feel awful when that happens? Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When you need assurance of God's presence, Joshua 1:9 says, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When you're struggling to persevere, Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up, because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? The psalmist said. And I want to declare, yeah, I want to declare God's word over you today. That what God says about you is way more important than what anybody else says. What anybody else posts about you, what did God post about you? What did he say about you? And trust in that. Here's the last thing to write down, is uncommon confidence comes through perseverance in trials. We don't like this part, but that's what happened to Jesus. Look at this. In verse 45, then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. He doesn't say, let us hide. Let us run. Let's find a place to get away, run, hide, whatever. No, he says, no, I'm confident about this now. We've got this. We can do this. He says, let us go do this. And so the resistance just makes you stronger when you allow it to. You know, have we got any weightlifters in the house today? Come on, grunt if you're a weightlifter, just, you know, because doesn't it sound more impressive in the gym when you do a little grunting, you know, and you got like 12 pounds or whatever? No. So So anyway, weightlifters know that you're not going to get stronger if you don't increase the resistance. You have to increase the resistance to increase the strength. And the same thing, friends, when you and I go through stuff, here's what happens. Our faith can get stronger by pushing against the trials. Jesus is in this squeezing place. He's in this Gethsemane experience, this crushing time. But instead of caving into it, he gets stronger and more believing that I'm going to come through this and let us go even right now because I'm ready to take this on. I love that. See, you may be praying and you haven't seen results. Here's what the scripture says. Don't throw it away. You know, don't give up on it. The enemy wants to come in and mess with you. And some of you, maybe he messed with you this morning. Maybe you got up and you didn't get up. Your alarm went off and you thought, oh, Lord. You know, I don't know. And the enemy said, hey, I think you got a headache. You should just not go to church. You know, I think you're too exhausted. You're too tired. And you know, it's going to be a struggle getting your kids ready and everything. And you're not quite up to that. And so you should just take the weekend off. You should just take the day off. You should just lay back down. And but something rose up in you and said, no, I am not going to do that. I am getting out of this bed. I am getting in the shower. I am going to drive to church. And I am going to get those kids ready. Ready or not, we're going to go to church and we're going to lift our hands and we're going to praise God anyway, in spite of what is going on in our lives. I may know how to do that. See, some of you need to get in on that because the enemy, he tries to push back against you and say, hey, you no, because that worked last Sunday. So maybe it'll work again this Sunday. And I want to declare over you today that you've got more in you than that. That God in you is able to do exceeding abundantly above, beyond what you could ask or think, according to the power that works in you. And that power wants to work in you so that, here's what he says, so that you'll reap a reward. In Hebrews 10:35, don't throw away your confidence because it has a great reward. He says, here's what you need to do. You need to realize that one day what will happen is, you know what? When the devil used to tell me that stuff on Sunday morning, I remember when it used to knock me out. I remember when he used to tell me things like that. It used to keep me home. But not now. Not now. That was months ago, but I've grown more and stronger, and I'm getting stronger day by day. Come on, somebody. You're getting stronger now, I hope. You're just, the things that he used to be able to do that bothered you, that got you down, that you just have to lay in bed for a week. You know, he used to mess with you and it just mess you up and all. But not anymore because that's what you used to be. But thank God that's not what you are now. Now you've learned more of who you are in Christ. No, I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm raised up with Christ. My confidence is not in me. It's in him that's in me. See, that's what David did when the giant came out. And he says, what? You're like a dog. You're like a little scrawny dog. What are you people doing? You sending me teenagers? Are you even a teenager yet? Yeah. You little squat. And he was cursing and all kinds of stuff. And you know what David did? David said, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I didn't come out here with a sword and a spear. I could have, but I turned it down. You come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you with a name that is above every name. And let me tell you what that name did for me when a bear tried to take me down. I took the bear down. And when the lion came at me, I'm telling you, I had a name that was above every name that took that lion down. And the same God that delivered the bear and the lion into my hands is today going to deliver you, you big bad boy. He's going to deliver you into my hands. This little guy is going to take you down today. See, that's what you got to do. You got to decide. No. My confidence is not in me, not in how big my biceps are. It's not how big, how strong, how mighty, how much money I've got in the bank or whatever else. It's not about all those things. It's about I've got a name that's above every name. I've got a word that's above every word. And it doesn't matter what the devil throws my way. What used to work doesn't even work anymore because I'm getting stronger and stronger day by day. How many believe that right now? Let me pray. Father, in this house today, there are people going through trials, tribulations, difficulties, challenges. But Lord, if we'll just keep going, just like you did in the garden. Oh, the enemy tried to get you to quit. The enemy tried to cause you to throw in the towel, but you just kept believing God's word. And the promises. And today, God, we declare your promises over every situation, every circumstance, every tribulation, every trial. To not be have our strength in ourselves, but our strength in our Savior. While we're praying, if you're here today and you say, oh, Craig, I want to get stronger day by day. I want the things that used to bother me not to bother me anymore. I want to just keep on growing and thriving in my relationship with the Lord. I want the things that maybe the bear, the lion, all that stuff. I want to see that go by the wayside so that even the giants begin to fall in front of me because of the strength that I have in my relationship with Christ. If that's your prayer, would you just lift your hands all over this room? If that's your prayer today, maybe you're going through something even right now and you just want to declare it over your life, just declare it over your family, over your finances, over your marriage, over your relationships. Father, today we trust you. We trust what you say over what people say. And Lord, for that person today that maybe the enemy's just been telling them all kinds of stuff all week, Lord, today we know the enemy is a liar and the father of lies. And so we declare your truth of who we are. We are more than conquerors through you. Greater are you that's in us than he that is in the world. We declare today that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. We declare today that if our God is for us, who can be against us? And so God, in this moment, we just lift our hands to you. We just lift our hands to you and we say, God, we want confidence that's uncommon confidence, that the world didn't give it to us, so the world can't take it away. So it doesn't make any difference what unfolds today. We're rooted in our relationship with you. Maybe others of you are here, and if you were honest, you just would say, I don't feel rooted in my relationship with the Lord. Maybe you don't even feel like you have a relationship with God. Or maybe you used to have a relationship with God, but today it doesn't feel real to you. And here's what I want to declare over you. that God says, if you will draw near to me, I will draw near to you. He declares that if you will call upon him, he will answer you. And so if you are here today, and I don't care what you've done, I don't care if it's been 20 days, 20 years worth, or whatever in your life, if you just genuinely want God in your life, and you just want to come to him today, and you want to see him start moving in your life, then he is anxious for you to call upon him, because he said, if you call, I'll answer. And so today, if you're here and you say, oh, I want that, Craig. I need that in my life. Will you just raise a hand right now all over this room? Just say, yeah, that's me. And if God will answer, I want to call. I want him in my life. Yeah, just raise it up. And while you're doing that online, just type the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you. As a matter of fact, everybody, pray this prayer after me right now, so those around you who lifted a hand, they'll have the boldness to pray it out loud as well. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on that cross for me, to be willing to do it, to give it all for me so that I can be free. Today I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life and change me. From this day forward, as much as I know how, I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody, let's celebrate. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't get any better than that. Listen, if you made a decision here in this room, there are words that you can text on the screen, but even better than that is right there in your hands is that card, that connection card that you already filled out, that we all filled out a while ago. On the front side of that card, there are two boxes. One is, I made a decision to give my life to the Lord today. The other one is, I recommitted. So either I committed, maybe for the first time, or maybe you feel like, no, I recommitted my life to the Lord today. Then just check on those boxes and then put it in the buckets or take it over to the Welcome Center if you're new among us as you leave today. And also, there's a Next Steps room right over here, and you can go talk to somebody about baptism or anything else that we have to offer as a next step to help you in your journey. Let's stand to our feet. I want to pray another blessing over you today. Our God is for us. I need to preach the whole message over again, I think. I said, our God is for us, right? He's for us. He's for you. And we're for you, too. And I want to pray a blessing over your week that I don't know what your week's going to have. I don't know what my week's going to have. But what I do know is, I know I'm not going into this week alone. I know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And it doesn't make any difference what comes my way. God is going to be with me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your covering, for your power, for your presence. Thank you that you never leave us. You never forsake us. Lord, through the Holy Spirit, draw any person down to the altar today that needs prayer to receive the prayer that they need maybe before they leave. And God, I pray you'll work through our prayer partners and that you just even do miracles yet in this place. And God, we give you all the glory, all the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen.